Hare Krishna. Welcome, we are continuing our study of Bhakti Shastri, Mr. Balaramdev's. Last class we finished the 5th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Action in Krishna Consciousness. The one subject matter was of the two, Karma Sannyas and Karma Yoga. Karma Yoga is better. That was the first section of 5th chapter. Better than Karma Sannyas is Karma Yoga. But both are leading to the same goal. And goal is Vishnu. One has detachment and one has attachment. Detachment from the matter is Karma Sannyas. Attachment to the activities of Krishna consciousness is Karma Yoga. So they are, the goal is same. There are two stages on the same path. So this was the first portion of the 5th chapter. Is okay? Then Karma Yoga with transcendental knowledge is more vividly described in 5th chapter. The one who has a knowledge of the Paramatma, knowledge of the Atma and their relationship, knowledge of the material world and interrelationship of all these things, so Jiva, Prakriti and Ishwar. If we understand their actual interaction, then we will have a transcendental vision. It's called vision of Jnani. And we have an example of a self-realized soul sees no difference between the cow, elephant, Brahman and dog and dog eater, because he sees super soul in everybody and his soul, not the different dresses. Okay? What is the result of this knowledge? The result of this knowledge is the practitioner is very much convinced that sense enjoyment is the mother of miseries. If this one simple truth, if it is girded in the mind, that sense enjoyment is the mother of misery. Ye sansa prasaja bhoga dukh yonya evate. Adya antavanta konte nateshu ramate buddha. 22, verse 22. This one verse we focus and we meditate, all sensory pleasures with sense and their sense objects, Mother Prabhupada says, mother of misery means the place of birth of misery. They ultimately lead to misery. Therefore, those who are intelligent, they are not interested in such sense gratification. Then what they will do? They will tolerate. They will tolerate the urges or pushes of the senses. senses and mind will always push. Urges will always be there. They will never stop before death. Therefore, he learns to tolerate. Trinad api suni chena, taror api sahishnuna. Sahishnuna means tolerate. He learns to tolerate, but he himself has no such determination, therefore sayukta, therefore he gets mercy from Supreme Lord. He gets connected to the Supreme Lord by humble service attitude. Then he will be happy. Verse 23. This is what Jnani, he knows, he has to tolerate. Is it clear? Then there is a last verse which is peace formula in Prabhupada's language. Gyatva, those who knows. Those who know means those who have a knowledge. Those who have a knowledge. Everybody has a knowledge because knowledge is one of the symptom of soul. Sat chit anand. Chit means jnana. But then that jnana is covered by ignorance, avidya. The jnana is covered by ignorance, avidya. So it's not that really we have to endeavor for jnana, but we have to remove ajnana, then jnana will automatically manifest. And what is the ajnana? Avidya. We accept body as the self. And who is putting us in this ajnana, in ignorance? Who is putting us in this ignorance? Maya. Whose Maya? Krishna's Maya. And who can free us from the, what is the process to get free from the Maya, then we will be cleared from ignorance and then automatically jnana will manifest. What is the process? Surrender. Yo mam prapadyante mayam etam taram sikhe. And the process of surrender is started by chanting Hare Krishna. Process of surrender is started by chanting Hare Krishna. That is the appeal for engagement of senses in the service of Krishna. There is a positive engagement which we are asking by chanting Hare Krishna. Krishna is our well-wishing friend. He is our real well-wisher. He is accompanying us all, each individual in all these spaces of life as Paramatma. What he is doing there? Bharta Bhokta Maheshwara Upadrishta अनुमंता भर्ता भोक्ता महेश्वर उपदृष्टा ही इज विटनेस ही इज विद अस बट ही इज एज ए विटनेस उपदृष्टा अनुमंता ही सैंक्शंस ऑन अवर डिजायर्स विच ही स्मेल like the flower by a person simply by sitting near to us. So anumanta upadrishta anumanta bharta bharta means husband is called bharta means who maintain who provide all the things for necessary for our maintenance and living. Bharta means he provides everything which we need for survival. Air, water, food, everything. Bharta. And then he is also bhokta. Bhoktaram yagya tapasam sam. He is bhokta. He is the true enjoyer. When we misunderstand that we are also enjoyer and we have a separate interest from Krishna, separate agenda from Krishna to enjoy, then Maya put us in illusion. So separate interest, if we cooperate with Krishna in his bhoktaram, in his enjoyment, then all problems are solved. Instead of competing with him, if we cooperate, our problems are solved. So to cooperate, so he is bhokta, bharta, maheshwara. On our body there are so many demigods. On each sense there is one demigod in charge. The Indra is in charge in the arms. The tongue has Agni Dev and eye has Surya Dev and Nasika, Ashwani Kumar. So each and every part of the body is controlled by different demigods. They are living on all senses. But Krishna is, they are Ishwar, but Krishna is Maheshwar. Bharta, Bhokta, Maheshwar. So he is our well-wishing friend. He is sitting with us all the times, all the places, all the all everywhere, all the time and always. In all these pieces. माया मुग्ध जीवेर कृष्ण माया मुग्ध जीवेर नहीं स्वत कृष्ण ज्ञान चेतन महाप्रभु टीचेस सनातन गोस्वामी दैट द लिविंग एंटिटी इज इल्यूजन बाय माया एंड ही हैज बिकम कंप्लीटली मैड ही कैन नॉट कम आउट on his own from the influence of Maya, entanglement of Maya. Therefore, mercifully Krishna Kripa Kaila, he gave Veda Puran, he gave these holy scriptures. Then, Sadhu Shastar Swayam Rupe, he sent the spiritual master and the Vaishnava devotees to help us. He incarnate himself as Vyasadeva to give us the literature, Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam. And he himself accompanies us as a Paramatma. By these three endeavors, out of His causeless mercy, He help us to get out of the influence of Maya. Shastra, Guru and Paramatma. The word is Sadhu. Shastra, Guru, Sadhu and Paramatma. So this is the state of affairs. And what Shastra teaches us, develop re-establish your forgotten relationship with Krishna. This is the only one simple single message. Re-establish your forgotten relationship with Krishna. And to re-establish that relationship, the process is yoga. The yoga is one path. The different names are the different stages on that one path. So till this class, we have discussed Karma Yoga in third chapter, Nishkam Karma Yoga, attachment to the work we do, but we are detached from the result of the work that we offer to Supreme Lord. That is called Karma Yoga. When we, by this karam, nishkam karam yoga, heart is purified, then we develop transcendental knowledge. That knowledge helps us to learn renunciation, tyag, vairagya. So when in nishkam karam yoga, our transcendental knowledge solidifies and our sense of renunciation and detachment, Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ji, it increases, then we are promoted from Karma Yoga, Nishkam Karma Yoga, to the Jnana Yoga. In Jnana Yoga, we also perform detached activity. This is Krishna's mood. To not for our own interest, but for setting the example, Acharya principle. Even if we have complete knowledge, but still, we have to perform prescribed duties to set example for the common people. Then, after knowledge, when we advance in concentration of mind through meditation, then the progression on the path of yoga is called Dhyana Yoga. The goal of the Jnana Yoga is the Brahma realization. The goal of the Jnana Yoga is Brahma realization. The goal of the Dhyana Yoga is Paramatma realization. There is Paramatma realization. So today we are starting sixth chapter that is called Dhyana Yoga. Is it okay? So things are clear? Any question? So till now, Krishna is again and again telling, don't give up work. Only learn to give up the attachment to the result of the work. In Gyan, he said, for the purpose of being exemplary. In Karma Yoga, it is the part of the Karma Yoga to do the activity for purification of heart. So in Nishkam Karma Yoga, we work. Why? For purification of heart. In Gyan Yoga, still we work for setting the example. Now today again in Dhyan Yoga, Krishna will say, still you have to work. In Dhyan Yoga, early stages. So, we can never give up at any stage work. Because this is the constitutional position of the soul, to be active. Artificial inactivity always leads to trouble. So let us see what is for us in this. Dhyana Yoga. There are two words here which we will deal in first 9 verses. Can somebody read these two words? Yog Arurukṣa and Yog Arurha. Yog Arurukṣa is a beginning stage. Yog Arurha is a perfectional stage. Beginner and perfection. Yog Arurukṣa is a beginner stage of the beginning. And Yog Arud is a complete mature perfection in yoga. This yoga is called Ashta Anga Yoga. Ashta means 8. This yoga has 8 limbs. These are the 8 limbs of the yoga. Now you can see yoga Arurukshur stage, first 6. Yam Nayam. Yam means don'ts. Nayam means do's. Then physical postures, asana. Then breathing exercises, pranayama. Then pratyahara, no more possessing things. Then dharana, then dhyana, then samadhi. So dhyana and samadhi. One who reaches to the stage of dhyana, he is transiting from yoga arurukṣa to yoga arurukṣa. Is it okay? As long as he is in yoga arurukṣa stage, he should never ever give up nishkam karma yoga. If he is really advanced to dhyana and dharana, then he is in a yoga arurukṣa stage. Then work for him is not required. Prescribed work for him is no more required. Is it okay? All right? The second section which we will deal, stages in yoga practice and samadhi. It means how to practice yoga. and what and how one can be so from yoga arur to yoga arur to stage, how it is practiced. So this is something like methods of practice of yoga. The next section has 28. Realization of Krishna as super soul by the yogi. Now this is a yoga arudha person. He is already seeing the super soul in his heart. And then there is a U-turn. Ashtanga yoga rejected by Arjuna. Cannot be practiced. So when it was not possible for a person like Arjuna, who was a Krishna personal friend, it was Dwapara Yuga, he was a Raja Rishi, then what to speak of people of Kali Yuga with no credit? They say we are practicing Ashtanga Yoga, they are simply befooling themselves and are cheated. Okay. Then there is Arjuna's questions. Unsuccessful yogi's destination. Practice started, perfection never reached. In the middle, he left body. What will be the destination? The last two verses is topmost yoga system. So this is the summary of this chapter. This Ashtanga yogi means doing practice like this in samadhi with postures. Where is he sitting? Is he sitting in air-conditioned hall in the middle of the city? Where is he sitting? So first requirement of yoga is pure suchau deshe. Suchau means pure. And Prabhupada writes pure means at the bank of Ganga, Jamuna, in Jamunotri, Gangotri, Haridwar, somewhere where yoga practice can be done as it was done by the yogis in the past. Anybody who is going to the yoga classes in the cities is just making a mockery of yoga. It cannot be called yoga. And then the purpose of yoga is to see Paramatma in the heart. Nothing less than that is yoga. So this is the first verse. Read the first word. Krishna vacha, Sri Bhagavan vacha, nasaktaha hakka. Anashrita karam phalam. One who is not dependent on the results of his work. Karyam karam karoti yah. He is engaged still in all his works. Sanyasi, he is sanyasi. Cha, and yogi as well. Na, not that, nir agnir. Sanyasi, when they take sanyas, they are exempted from performing yajna. So if somebody say, I don't want to do yajna only, then he is not sannyasi. Only just giving up yajna doesn't qualify him as a sannyasi. And somebody says, and I don't want to do any activity, then still he is not sannyasi. So the translation, you see, one who is unattached to the fruits of his work and who works as he is obliged, is in the renounced of life, sannyasi. And he is true mystic, he is also yogi. Not he who lights no fire and perform no duty. It means sannyasi. He is not really sannyasi if he give up work and never perform yajna in early stages of his practice. So there is one line in the purport. You see, to act in Krishna consciousness in the middle first para, can you find that the example given there? To act you found it?
Yes.
To act in Krishna consciousness duty of every living entity. Because all are constantly part and parcel of Supreme Lord. The parts of the body works for the satisfaction of the body. The limbs of the body do not act for self-satisfaction, but for the satisfaction of the complete whole. The example is an example, analogy. Very straightforward and simple. You are working with a hand, but hand cannot enjoy rasgulla. It has to be put in the mouth, ultimately. So this is like must. And then, therefore, similarly, living entity who acts for satisfaction of the Supreme Whole and not for the personal satisfaction is perfect sannyasi and a perfect yogi. Then he is a perfect sannyasi and a perfect yogi. He may be yogi, he may be sannyasi, but the requirement is he must work for whole, not for the person. Now, sannyasis sometimes artificially think that they have become liberated. And they give up Agnihotri Yajna. Can you see this? This is the meaning of Agnihotri Yajna. Then Prabhupada writes, what is the goal of these sannyasis? To become merged in the Brahma. It means they have a desire. They have a desire. They are not desireless. Then next line, what is the half-open eyes yogis they are doing? They want also, they have a personal satisfaction, desire for some satisfaction of personal self, to get some mystic city. So these both have desires. But a person acting in Krishna consciousness, work for satisfaction of the whole without the self-interest. Therefore, a Krishna conscious person has no desire for self-satisfaction. His criterion of success is the satisfaction of Krishna. And thus he is the perfect sannyasi or perfect yogi. Lord Chaitanya, the highest perfectional symbol of renunciation, pray in this way. You don't need anything. That's what he said. I don't need anything. I need only your service. Then he is perfect sannyasi. So Krishna conscious person is simultaneously sannyasi and yogi. This, I think, is a question in your book. It must be something like that. So you must quote this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And next verse has exactly same thing. Instead of reading verse, you go to the purport down. Therefore, can you see therefore? Next verse purport. Therefore, a Krishna conscious person is simultaneously a sannyasi and yogi. Can you see this? Why is he sannyasi and yogi? Because So this is one subject matter which is how we are sannyasi as well as yogi. Even doing everything is still, this is what. So next verse, go to the next verse. Yam sannyasam iti prahur, what is called sannyas, yogam tam vidhi pandava. Arjun, yoga is same thing. So first here, Krishna says, karma and jnana is same. Sankhya and karma is same, he says. Now he is saying, sannyas and yoga are also same. They are same. How they are same? Nahi asanyasya sankalpo yogi bhavati kasyan. If one is not renouncing, then how can he be yogi? There is no renunciation, no yoga. No one can be yogi unless he renounces the desire for sense gratification. So both are same. Again same. Why it's called same? Because they are the stages on the same path. Now, just we read the most important part of the purport, but there's one line. When he is, can you see this? When he is. Fourth line. When he is entrapped by material energy, he is conditioned. And when he is Krishna consciousness are aware of spiritual energy, then he is in his real natural state of life. Krishna consciousness means bhakti yoga. Bhakti yoga is not a devotee or a bhakta who is Krishna consciousness. He is not in the jurisdiction of material energy. He is in the jurisdiction of spiritual energy. Bhakta, Bhagavan and Bhakti. All three are beyond material energy. They are under the shelter of internal energy. This is the statement. Bhagavan, Bhakt and Bhakti, all three are not under material influence or entanglement of material energy. They are under the jurisdiction of spiritual energy. Yes.
Here also presenting sannyas and yoga is same. Before 5.4 is what is it? Sankhya yoga and Yogacara is the same path.
Yeah, they are also same.
But it is like you are saying path, but stages are on the same path.
Yes, it is different stages of the yoga.
So then how is it? Translation, those who are actively learning say that he who applies himself well to one of his paths achieves the result of both.
Because then you will be promoted to the next stage automatically, and then you will reach the goal. The goal is same. Then you will be, you know, you apply in one path, because this is only, already, it's only one path. Like you are in a one way, then you will just reach to the same goal. Hare Krishna. Come, Hare Krishna. Now, verse 3. Aruruksha munir yogam karma karan uchyate. When he is in the practicing stages of yoga, work for him is necessary foundation. Yogarudh tasya samakarana mochyate. When he is perfection in yoga, then shama, no need of work. That's what the meaning is. Is it okay? Now in this purport you can see Prabhupada is again speaking of yoga leader. Can you see the purport? Process of linking oneself with Supreme is called yoga. It may be compared to the ladder for attaining to the topmost spiritually. This ladder begins from the lowest material condition of life, living entity rising to the perfect self-realization in pure spiritual. According to the various elevation, different parts of the ladder are known as different names, by different names. So we will discuss this whole as a separate one class, yoga ladder. Day after tomorrow, my word, then the third class is on yoga ladder. So this is some description of yoga ladder. Yoga arus, different yoga. Now see, second line, second para. But before we read, I think let us make some, again, very basic statement. Dhyana yoga, which is called Ashtanga yoga, mostly this is called Patanjali yoga system. But Patanjali and Bhagavad Gita yoga has a minute differences, but Prabhupada still calls it Ashtanga yoga is a Patanjali yoga. The goal of the Patanjali yoga is samadhi. Seeing Vishnu in the heart. This is the goal. If you want to go somewhere, then you need some vehicle, some instrument to get work to do that job. So the single important mechanism in this yoga is to control mind. The whole focus of this yoga is Chitta Vritti Nirodha Yoga Uchyate. Chitta Vritti, the different vrittis means different activities of the mind. Nirodha means bringing them back and fixing at one place. So whole process yoga is focused on controlling mind. Is it okay? So throughout the word will be mind, mind and mind. In this purport two lines you read, then after asana, can say, what is asana Prabhupada is calling? Sitting postures, which are more or less bodily exercises and are considered fruitive material activities. Can you see this? Why Prabhupada is writing asanas or yoga postures as fruitive material activities? Can somebody just hear?
Yes?
So they are sense, they are fruitive material activities because all these people who are doing physical exercises, the yoga, their purpose is to be healthy, to enjoy more. That's what their own object is. Therefore it is fruitive activities. They want to enjoy the fruit of their exercise. All such activities leads to the achieving perfect mental equilibrium. Then the but there's no still pranayama. Prabhupada is not speaking, only he is giving one simple his own statement about the yoga exercises. Then in this whole, all these Prabhupada said there's one thing, there's one trait. Krishna ka, see the Krishna conscious person, however, is situated from the beginning on the platform of meditation. So some of you should just read this purport and whatever the yoga stages are, people are practicing, how Krishna conscious person is already there. Everywhere Prabhupada gives hints in each purport. So you have to make your own sort of small essay that by practicing Krishna conscious, all the levels of yoga are automatically achieved. The whole process, the whole thread of Prabhupada's purport is like that. Automatically we get, this is what when Prabhupada, as early as 66, when Prabhupada went to the Mishra, Dr. Mishra's yoga studio, and when devotees were chanting with the yoga, the Swami steps, left, right and hands up. So those yoga students of Mishra, they said, what you are doing, what we are practicing, you are doing naturally. What we are practicing to control things, you are doing naturally. So the point is, all purpose have one section. Prabhupada focuses that in Krishna conscious, all these things are already available. So some of, I would request you take time and just make a note that how Krishna conscious person is already performing all these stages of yogi, dhyana yogi. Okay? Next verse. Yada means when. It means that stage is achieved when you do practice. Yada hi nendriya artheshu nakaram su anusajyate salasankalp sanyasi yoga arurstaduchyate. Who is called at this stage of yoga arur? There are symptoms here. Criteria for the yoga arur is when he has na indriya artheshu na karmasu anusajyate. Two things. Third thing, sarva sankalpa sanyasi. Three things. What are the three things in the translation? Renounce all material desires. Sarva sankalpa sanyasi. Sarva sankalpa sanyasi in the verse which is here. Renounce all. Next is neither acts for sense gratification. That is, na indriya artheshu. Okay, and the nor engage in fruitive activities. Karamsu anusajyate. Can you see these three words in the verse and then translation? If you look like that, it means you. That's what Prabhupada's mood is. In the preface, he said, I was not satisfied when they printed the book without verses and word-to-word meaning. I want my students to be authentic by quoting actual Sanskrit spoken by Krishna and then understanding them. This pleases me. If you read, this is what Prabhupada's mood is in the preface. So can you see this? If somebody can do these three things, he is called Yoga Aru. Next, fifth verse is important. The first verse has something Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has here. You want to look at it. In commencing the practice of Ashtanga Yoga, one should not suddenly give up Nishkam Karma Yoga. which purify the heart. You perform actions prescribed by the scripture as inseparably duty, karyam karma, without expectation of result, anashrita, karam phalam, is called sannyasi. So who is sannyasi? Who is performing his action but not attached to the result, he is sannyasi. Since he renounced the result of his action, therefore he is sannyasi. He is called a yogi because his mind does not dwell in the enjoyment object of senses. So one is giving up and one is not interested in enjoying. A person who merely renounces actions such as the fire sacrifice is not called sannyasi. Nor is one who merely half closes the eyes with the external body activity, akriya, is called yogi. So in first verse, the two words sannyasi is for one who is not performing only yajna. And niskriya is for the yogi who is half closed eyes and not doing any bodily function. They are not yogi or sannyasi. But if they do, if they have no attachment to the fruits and they work, then they are yogi and sannyasi. So this is... Yes, what is your question? Sorry? Verse 4. Renounce the material desires. Sankalp is the function of mind. Sankalp, vikalp is function of mind. It means he has a mind control. Next is X for sense gratifications. It means he has controlled his senses, not in the sense objects. And third is fruitive activity. That means he is not interested in getting some result by doing some action. He has to do action, but no result. So one is mind control, one is sense control. And one, so these are the words are like this. Sankalp is the function of mind, so one has completely controlled his mind. Because next verse is speaking of the mind. Therefore it is the mind. So this verse said, udhret atmanam natmanam avasadhyet atmaev atmano bandhur atmaev ripur atmanah. In this word, the word atma, which Prabhupada is describing, has three meanings at least. There are 7-8 meanings, but Prabhupada is giving three meanings. The three meanings of the atma is body, mind and soul. But in this verse, since the mind is the central point of yoga system, therefore atma refers to mind. Is it clear? Okay? Now down little further you find one line. In fact, can you see the in fact? Now, in fact, read this in fact. In fact, the pure soul is entangled in the material world because the mind is involved with false ego, which desire to lord it over material nature. So who is the culprit in keeping us in material world? Who is the agent which forces us, which takes us from one body to other body? mind. All the desires unfulfilled are stored in the mind, which is the part of the subtle body. When we leave this body, based on the desired analyzed in the mind, next body is given. So mind is the central figure. Is okay? One other verse is quoted, man hai, to make it clear, atma is mind. Prabhupada is quoting another verse from the scripture, Amrit Bindu Upanishad. Can see the purport next verse? Man hi manushyanam karanam bandhanam mokshaha mokshayoho. Mind is the cause of bondage and moksha, liberation of a person. Bandhaya vishya vishya sango. If the mind is connected with sense enjoyment uncontrolled, then he is cause of bondage. Muktai nirvishyahi manaha. The mind which is not engaged in the senses is cause of liberation. So same mind, this example is like you have one key. When you turn on one side of the lock, it is closed. It's locked. On the other side you turn, it is open. So one key can open the lock and close the lock. So same mind, if it is turned towards Krishna, then the liberation. If it turns towards the worldly enjoyment, it is cause of bondage. So this is something, bandhu, mind is friend, shatru is enemy, karanam bandha mokshaya, cause of bondage and liberation. Mind is the central point of yoga practice, okay, this is what we have just discussed. Now what Prabhupada is saying about the Ashtanga Yoga. This is from the purport. We can read this. This is the purport of section 6.6. So these are the main point of the purports. Can somebody read this? This is in the purport, all these things. But when the mind is conquered, one voluntarily agrees to abide by the dictation of personality of Godhead. For one who, now this is the line, in all purport, for one who takes to Krishna consciousness directly, perfect surrender to the dictation of the Lord follows automatically. So 6.6 purport, see this all. What it means is whenever you are doing, you are hearing two sounds, one of your mind and one of Paramatma. How to distinguish the two sounds, that needs really practice in Krishna consciousness. Always Paramatma is giving us direction, do it, don't do it. But when we are in mode of ignorance, we are so lazy and sleepy that we don't hear his direction. Then you have to hear to the direction of the mind. When we are in mode of passion, we are too busy running and we can't hear what Krishna is speaking to us as a Paramatma. Because we are too busy running. When we are in mode of goodness, we are too happy to hear Krishna. So as long as we have three modes influencing us, the dictation of Paramatma are difficult to hear. And we don't hear Paramatma, then only we hear my mind. Therefore, until and unless somebody transcends the modes of material nature, he cannot really hear directly the direction of Paramatma. Pure devotees are working under the direction of Mahatmanastamam Parapdevim Prakritim Ashrita. They are under the divine protection of internal energy. They understand Paramatma. So there is a one exercise for us somewhere. Let us see if we can find out. So this exercise, can you practice this exercise? Can you read and practice? What is this? You two together or three sit together, discuss. Artisans in pairs share their realization of how the mind is friend and how the mind is enemy. I'm just giving you one example. One day you wanted to come to the Bhagavatam class in the morning. That was, your mind said, let's go to the Bhagavatam class. Then he is friend. But right now, at that time, you got a friend's call. And he said, I have some party at my home. Please, can you come? Then you go there. That is your mind. Is your enemy. He is taking you away from Krishna. So in this way, you find out few and subsequently request Krishna to identify ways of turning potential enemy into a friend. For that, do we ignore the mind completely? Do we obey it, but only under certain circumstances? Do we preach to it? Share results. So, do it 5 minutes little exercise, okay? So, the first example is alarm, and night is mind friend, and when alarm rings, it becomes enemy. And now, when we are hungry, if there is a no onion garlic, say haldiram, or sharp, it's what is the problem, there's no onion garlic. So mind becomes really enemy. If you give little room to the mind, then you are in his complete grip. So, what will you tell to your mind? Preach.
Preach.
Can, how, okay, how can you preach your mind? So if you have already sankalp, therefore in our Vedic system there is some word called sankalp. When you do sankalp, what we do sankalp at the initiation, we will chant 16 rounds. So we are continuing because we have a sankalp. Sankalp is the function. It means you already tell to the mind that this has to be done. So he will be ready for that. So to do sankalp as a firm determination with the intelligence, discriminate, get determination and then do sankalp. Like Nirjala Ekadashi. We do sankalp and we can do it. So mind can be preached to. Like a child, we try to preach, we'll do this. But some mothers, I asked some mother here, children were running, I said, let them run a little more. If they run, then they will be tired and they will sleep easily. It's not a problem for me, she said. I just dump only one slab and already sleep. She told me, this is the method I use. Right here, 2 days back, she told me that. This is not a problem. So that is also a method for the mind. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami used to say, 100 shoes to the morning in the morning, 100 beat the mind with 100 shoes in the evening.
Spit
on the thought. Sorry? Spit on the thought. And then
spit on
it. Spit on the thought. Spit on the thoughts. Okay. Anyway, this is something, if we really are conscious of this, that mind is, how he is pulling, and how really we can make him friend, this needs really practice. Further again, Patanjali says mind is like a monkey. And when monkey is given some wine to drink, then what do you think, how the monkey will work? Will he be under control? So already mind is unsteady like monkey, and we have actually made him drink the wine of false ego. And such a monkey which has already drank the liquor, and then some scorpion bite that monkey, what do you think? That monkey will be peaceful? And the tail, somebody put a thorny plant branch, you tie in the tail of the monkey, then monkey will be peacefully sitting. Remove, it will get fire. And again he has a one. Enviousness in the mind is like a poison of the scorpion. Enviousness. So it's very difficult. All these are different pushes of the mind. Therefore in our Upadesha Amrit, first verse is Vach Vegam Manastha Vegam. So man has also pushes, are the vega. If you control them, then only. So from Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, it appears it is better to ignore the mind completely until unless it becomes friend. When it is enemy, Rishabdev, all the perfections appeared, siddhis in front of Rishabdev, and say, please you accept us. He said, no. You are incarnation, why don't you accept the siddhis? He said, this mind is very difficult. He will first say, what is the problem? Just seeing. And if you simply allow to see, then he will say, what is the problem in touching? And then you touch, then he says, then what is the problem now? Just a little more. Do something more. And then this mind will completely take you. So don't give mind a little freedom. So control the mind with intelligence. Intelligence is Prabhupada, one gives in, there is some analogy somewhere. Sometime the bacteria or the disease producing bacteria become more powerful, and the medicine which usually cure that is resistant cannot work. So mind sometimes is so virulent, that the conventional method of controlling won't function. Not successful. Like same antibiotic you give to the 10, 9 are cured, but 1 resistant, no work. So this is a problem. The next verse says, If the mind is controlled, he will be friend. His mind is uncontrolled, is enemy. So I gave the example of monkey, and I told you some example sometime. In a jungle, there is a small clip of the film. They show how that hunter met the monkey friend and got his work done. He was thirsty. There was no water. He said, "How can I find water?" I told you this story. Then he made a hole in the rock, a narrow hole, put some grains. Monkey came and just hand was stuck. And then he got him out, and then he salted bread he gave to the monkey, and then released the monkey. Monkey ran immediately to the water and he found the water. So if you control your mind and use it for your interest, mind cannot be functionless. How you control mind? Control the vritti. Vritti means the activity of mind. Sankalp, desire is coming, then desire something about Krishna. Desire something about the devotional service. Something, rejection is another function of mind. Vikalp, no. So, reject something which is not favorable for Krishna consciousness. Give mind engagement, but favorable to Krishna consciousness. And that's what Anukulya Krishna Anusilanam. That practice to the mind is perfect. Okay. Human mission, this we have seen Prabhupada. Jitātmā prasāntasya paramātmā samahita sītaśana sukha dukketu tata māna apmān yoga. That yogi who is already jitātmā, one who has controlled the mind, then what is the result of that controlled mind? He is prasānta, he is completely peaceful. Okay? And then paramātmā is already reached. He has already reached to the paramātmā. Then he will see the paramātmā, because if he is controlled, then he is peaceful. And if it's peaceful, then Paramatma already is. And then for him, Sitoshan means duality no more exists. And the last is Traman Apman Yoga. So for him, then there is no duality anymore. This stage is called, Prabhupada said, this stage is called Samadhi, last line. This stage is practical Samadhi or absorption in the Supreme. Controlled mind, peace, and peace, then Paramatma already. Next line, next verse, there are two words. Jnana Vijnana Tripta Atma. When the living entity is Tripta. Tripta means when he is satisfied. By what? Jnana and Vijnana. Vijnana. Jnana means knowledge, and Vijnana means practical application of the knowledge. By practical application of knowledge, when is, then what is the result? The result is kutistha. You know kutistha, what is the meaning of kutistha? You know what is kutistha? What is kutistha? Sorry? Goldsmith has anvil. It's called anvil. Aran. Hindi mein bolte hain Aran. You understand what is this? There's some piece of iron on which he makes so many ornaments by hitting. Whatever he hits, that changes into different shapes. But that piece of iron is unchangeable. So kutast is called to this iron. So many shapes are made on that, but its shape remains same. So that person is not carried away by any sensual players. He is very fixed. He can see so many things. He will go here, go there, but he is very fixed. There is no change, unchangeable. Kutist, that is the example. Kut means hitting on, but there is no change. So many things can be, you know, hit on it, and so many shapes may be changed of the things. His life will change, but he will not change. Vijitindriya, and he has conquered his senses. Then he is called Yuktiti Uchyate Yogi Samlosa. Then Yuktiti, he is, the word is law. Samlosa, Samlosa Asham Kanchanaha. For him, the gold and the. Prabhupada has some lecture on the, in your court book, there is something Prabhupada said about this. So the first line is very important. Book knowledge without realization of the Supreme is useless. So without vijnan, jnan is of no use. Okay? Prabhupada's explanation of these two words, gold and table, are same. Last line of the purport, you see. For him, the one who is kutas, for one who has conquered the mind, made him friend, for him, mundane scholarship, like jnana, and mental speculation, which may be as good as gold for others, are of no greater value than the pebble or stone for him. So the one who is a yogi, he is not interested into the plus, the PhD, MN, and this type of degrees are for him like a pebble. The people may think it is gold, but for him is that. That's what Prabhupada say. Gyan, the so-called gyan is a yogi's part. But there Prabhupada said, it's very high stage. It's very high stage actually. He said, you take some stone ornament and go to the goldsmith and say, what is the difference between the gold and the stone? You take a stone, give me gold. Will somebody give? Then, is it not easy? Then Prabhupada gives the example of Sanatana Goswami. He had that touchstone. So that person at that level has no interest in gold, is for him is like garbage as compared to the holy name. So Prabhupada gave the example, told this story of Sanatana Goswami and touchstone. You all know this story, okay? Right, then come to the next verse. That was with the matter. Such a yogi with material things have no distinction. For him they are same golden. But now this is more with the living people. Because gold you throw, you will not cry that while you are not here, I am your gold, you are forever. You give it, no. But this is living people. Soherans, soherans means soherans, those who are well-wisher. Mitra, those who are friends. Udasin, those who are neutral. Madhyastha, your mediator. Mediator, dveshu, those who are envious. Bandhusu, those who are relatives. Sadhusu, those who are sadhus. Api, cha papishu, those who are sinful. Sama buddhir visishyate is equal. His intelligence is equal among those. This is another highest stage. There is no comfort for this. So this is, that was the material, his, this is his behavior. That was his observable behavior here. He has no difference between any person. Such people, those who are Mahabhagavat, they are on this stage. In our bhakti line, Mahabhagavat, for them there is no enemy. See, Mirgari for Narada is not an enemy. A dacoit Valmiki is not an enemy for Narada. And small boy Dhru, son of king, is also not, is equal for him too. So this type, this stage is very high stage of Yoga Aru. In Bhakti line is Mahabhagavat stage, and some, it is stage of Samadhi, those who are living in the jungle. So next verse is, so now it's ninth verse is over. Now this from 10th onward, you know, this is the practice of Yoga. How to practice Yoga. First thing is, this is here something is which we have done, these two lines here, this you know from second chapter of Bhagavad Gita. In this analogy, somehow it is, we call mind as a reins, but in this it said mind is a driver. Prabhupada, some in one class he said like this. Mind is the driver. If you ask your driver, please get me into Krishna consciousness temple, the driver brings you there. And if you ask your driver, please get me in that liquor house, the driver will drive you there. The driver's business is to drive you wherever you like. Similarly, your mind is driver. If you lose control, then wherever he likes, he will take you. Then you are gone. Then your driver is your enemy. But if your driver takes on your acts on your order, then he is your friend. But in analogy, we call the intelligence is driver. Mind is representing reins or steering. But in one place, Prabhupada said, in one sense, yes, driving force for us is mind. In that concept, driving force us for us to drag to the abominable things or to the temple, dragging force is mind. That in that sense this is. So this is verse 7. When the mind is misled by external illusory energy, one becomes entangled in material activities. Therefore, as soon as one's mind is controlled through one of the yoga systems, one should be considered to have already reached the destination, means Paramatma. One has to abide by the superior dictation when mind is fixed in superior nature. No alternative but to follow the dictation of Supreme. The mind must admit some superior dictation. We have done this. What is the difference between the dictation of mind and dictation of Paramatma? How can we tell whether we are under the dictation of mind or Paramatma? The things pertaining to the senses and sense enjoyment is the dictation of mind. The things of renunciation and sense control are the dictation of Paramatma. Very simple, one line answer is like this. Anything which pushes us for sense gratification is dictation of mind. Anything which advises to renounce wrongdoing is dictation of Paramatma. Don't steal is a dictation of Paramatma. Take it. Who is saying is a dictation of mind. What do you think? Eat in a vegetarian restaurant is a dictation of mind. Take Krishna Prasad is a dictation of Paramatma. Like this you can have a list what is the difference between the two dictations. Now these all verses of these things. Verse 10 has one thing, he must be ekaki, he must be alone. So all these yoga classes in the clubs are useless. He has to be alone. This is the yoga practice, start with alone. Number 2, this is verse 10 has alone. Verse 11, 12 says suchao deshe. It means he must be in Himalayas, at the in Tirthistan, pure places. Prabhupada is in purport, all the pure places. His name, Kurukshetra, Haridwar, Ganga, Jamuna, all this is in purport. The next, not in the city, Prabhupada's comment. Third thing for practice is Chelajan Kushotram. His asana should be three things. First, Kush grass. Then cotton cloth, and then deer skin or tiger skin. Prabhupada, the tiger skin was used by the yogis in because they were in forest. And in forest, there are reptiles, snakes. There is some chemical, some character in that skin that may never come near to the yogi. But anybody except doing dhyana, he is not supposed to sit on the mrigasharam or the deer skin or tiger skin. As like some people have janasana with the mrigasharam for distributing prasad, it is not for that purpose. Eating on that is not advisable at all. People don't know. The guy can get from something and they say, I'm sitting on mrigasharam, therefore I'm yogi. So this is not the case. So this is asana. Then 13 and 14 verse says, Dhyayam Achalam Istitaha. So he must be sitting very erect without moving. No movement at all. Still, sitting still for hours. Vigat Bhihi, he should be free from fear. If he goes to the jungle, he has a fear of tiger, he has a fear of reptile, then how can he do practice? He should be fear from, should have no fear. Brahmachari Vrte, this is Prabhupada, a lengthy purpose. What is Brahmachari? Prabhupada gave Yajna Vakya's small verse what Brahmachari actually means. And then Prabhupada has also little critical comment about the practitioner of yoga living in their home, living with the sex life and doing yoga practice, then how they are yogis. Yogi's requirement is brahmachari. So all this yoga is bhoga. Prashant, unagitated. And why they go to the forest? Because there is no agitation. But even in the water of Yamuna, Sobri Vishnu was agitated. His mind was agitated by seeing simply fish. So this is very difficult. Machitta, this is something very important word in the verse. This Machitta verse is verse 13 and verse 14 has these two words. Can you look for this word? Machitta and Matpara. When Krishna is speaking, this Mat means Krishna Chitta. Chitta means his mind must be focused on Krishna. And the next word is Machitta. Prashanta Atma Vigat Vihi Brahmachari Vate Sita Manasanyam Machitto Ma Yukta Asit Matparaha. And then next verse has one more word. So this verse has something very important about Brahmachari. And this verse has one very important concept in the purport. Can you look in the purport? Vishyavani Varte Naharsa Dehina. Can you see the quote about this quote? Say, it must be in the, not on the verse page, next page and next page. Only in Bhakti Yoga school, Grastha Brahmacharis are admitted. In Jnana school and Yoga school, they have no entrance. Can you see this portion? You found it? The grastha is also regular grastha is called brahmachari. Such restant household brahmachari may be accepted in bhakti school, but jnana and dhyana school do not even admit householder brahmacharis. Can you see this? Like even Gauriya Math is called Math. Only brahmacharis and sannyasi has right to live there, no grastha. So Prabhupada did not call this Math, he called it society. And he admitted grastas as a practicing devotee full time in the temple, which is not in Gaudiya Math even. It's not a mutt, we are a society. So, this is the most important part, okay? And next verse has something more, one more word very nice. Shanti Nirvana Parma Madhisthanam Adigachati. So, Madhisthan, you found the Madhisthan? Okay? Now go to the second para of the purport. A consummate yogi who is perfect in understanding Lord Krishna, as is clearly stated herein by Lord Himself, mat chitta, mat para and mat sthanam, can attain real peace and ultimately reach the supreme abode, Krishna Lok, known as Golok Vrindavan. Can you see this? These three words, you replace mat with Krishna, because the speaker is Krishna. When he when he's saying, he's pointing to his chest, mat pra, mat sthan, mat chitta, mat sthanam. So you said, put mat, instead of mat, put Krishna then. Then it will be very clear. Is it clear? So, the verse 15, Nirvana Paramam. Nirvana, I told you Nirvana, meaning of the Nirvana? Nirvana. Nir means no. Bana means arrows. It means no material miseries. Start material existence means no material miseries. That stage is called Nirvana. And what 16 and 17 has? Yukta, regulated. Can you go to the words 16 and 17? First is, Nasti asantasya yogvasti na chayankandam anshanta na chati sopan silasya jagato naiva charjana. This is the regulation of eating and sleeping. And in this there is something, anything sleeping more than 6 hours is near to the ignorance. Last part of the purport. Seventeenth verse is yukta ahara viharasya. Ahar means eating, vihar means excursion, chestasya his endeavors, they must be moderate, yukta, regulated. So these are the requirements. And in this particular, in Purport, Prabhupada is focusing on one point. No single minute should be wasted without activities. Can you see this? Therefore any unnecessary time spent sleeping is considered a great loss. Krishna Pankrashan person cannot bear a loss of a minute of his life without being engaged in service of the Lord. And then there are two examples of sleeping of Haridas Thakur and Rupa Goswami, how they control their sleep. Okay? Okay, then we have to the next. Yukta har viharasya. Yukta cheshtasya karamsu. Yukta sopanubha. So this is Prabhupada's lecture on these verses in Bombay. In Los Angeles. You eat, but don't eat more. That is all. Therefore, here it is said, there is no possibility of one's becoming yogi if you try to become immediately Raghunath Das Goswami by imitating, you will fail. Whatever progress you have made, that will be finished. No, not that. You eat, but don't eat more. That is all. Eating more is no good. So, here it is said, there is no possibility of one's becoming yogi, O Arjuna, if one eats too much or eats too little. Very nice program. Don't eat too little. You eat whatever you require. But don't eat more. Similarly, don't sleep more. If you can keep your health perfect, but try to reduce it. So, once somebody told devotees that Prabhupada said, one cup of dal and two chapati for brahmacharis. Or someday somebody heard that. Early days, 67. In San Francisco temple, the Jayananda, the one who was the Rath Yatra, man of Rath Yatra, who used to build chariots, Ratha, he was the first who gave all $5,000 something to Prabhupada to print the Krishna book first time. I think Krishna book or the teaching of Lord Chaitanya, something like that book, gave first money for that. But he was a tall fellow, he was every day driving taxi, getting money, running temple. So for a few days they were eating two chapatis and little cup of dal. Then he wrote to Prabhupada. He said, Prabhupada, I can follow all your orders, but this two chapati and one cup of dal I cannot serve. Then Prabhupada wrote, why are you eating two chapati? You eat as much as your body accept and you can function. Who said this? Then he says, somebody said, in those days the things were like this. Don't eat means not eat. And then he started eating his chapati. He and the another person, Vishnu Jan Swami, they were doing the lot of service, but their eating was like, if there is something left, they say, just keep this plate for me. Two plates for them was minimum. But when Vishnu Jan Swami was playing mridanga for 8 hours on the street for kirtan, 8 hours playing mridanga on the street, people were walking by. He said, what are you doing, guys? They were laborers. He said, we are working hard. And Vishnu Swami got his gloves off and he showed his fingers. They were completely crack in the fingers by playing mridanga. He said, we are doing harder work than you. But before he was going for kirtan, he used to ask the kitchen department to give him at least 2 dozen Simply Wonderful. There was milk powder, butter and sugar. That was called Simply Wonderful with one raisin or some nut inside. So he has full bag for a Krishna chanting sometime. Then some petrol, Keshav. Then he used to have 2 laddu as a petrol, then again playing. So eat, but not too much, not too less. That's what Prabhupada is saying here. So then we have verse 18. This regulated yogi and Prabhupada said, Krishna conscious person, and an example is given of Ambarish Maharaj. The whole three verses are quoted from Ambarish Maharaj. Cessation for all material kinds of desires, of which the sex is the chief. King Ambarish. And for us, there is one word. Can you see the word in the last para of the purport? Archan. Therefore, Prabhupada used to say, when the devotee is dressing the deity, this is open eye samadhi. This is the samadhi with open eyes. You are focusing on the different limbs and different part of the body of the deity, and putting the ear means you focus on the ear. Putting the crown, you focus on. So this is samadhi with open eyes. So archana is the samadhi for the devotees. How they, by doing archana, they can accomplish this. So it's a sense and mind require engagement. So for children, children need some toys to play. So for children, if you give the smaller, let's say, Krishna doll, then let them decorate, let them make nice dresses for that, then their activity, toy activity is over. Uddhava was the, a 5-year-old, he was having Krishna deity and he was playing with that deity. So this system is already there. If for children we have this type of toys which are more spiritually inclined rather than machine gun and all these things which are disturbing the equilibrium of the mind, that will be helpful to engage them. In olden days, the two children friends, one has a male doll and one has a female doll, that they used to make their marriage. So let them have same thing, one have Radha group and one have Krishna group. Let them have all the Rath Yatra and all these type of functions. They will be from, therefore Prabhupada writes one thing very important. This practice of brahmacharya can only be started from the childhood. And that where we saw grastha, can be admitted grastha brahmachari, you saw that? Before that this statement is there. No brahmachari, if the child is not trained from the age of 5 in the guru's school, what brahmacharya means. So that, this practice should be started from the beginning for all these things. Now, this person who is fully self-realized, here are the some verses. His mind example is Yatha Deepo Nivasisto Nengte Sokma Samrta Yogino Yat Chittasya Yunyato Yogamatmana. In a windless place, this word is Deepa. The Deepa is not waving, there is no wind. Similarly, mind of the yogi is not attracted by a sense object and is not filthy. This is an example, a simile. And then these three and a half verses. This is the stage of Yoga Aruna. So, yatro pramatya chittam nirudham yoga sevaya yat chevatma atmanam pashyan atmani tushyati. Tushyati is satisfied. Pashyanti, he sees. He sees the Paramatma within in samadhi. This is samadhi. And then he don't want to see anything else. So this is the something in the purpose, the word is samadhi. This is samadhi. Patanjali system, principle of Patanjali. And then There's one philosophical point in the purport. Patanjali Sutra 334, can you see that? In the purport? And this has a one word, Chitta Shakti. And then Srila Prabhupada is describing in the next para, the word Kevalyam. Can you see the Kevalyam of the monoist? But according to Patanjali, this Kevalyam is an internal or transcendental potency by which the living entity becomes aware of his constitutional position. In the words of Lord Chaitanya, this state of affair is called Cheto Darpana Marjana. Can you see the Kevalyam seen by monist and Kevalyam seen by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? And then it goes down. Next quote is Bhav Maha Davagani Nirvapanam. Can you see this quote? And then Bhagavatam, another quote. Second canto. Swarupena Vivastitaha. He is now situated in his own Swarupa. This is called actually Chit Shakti's function, Kevalyam. Not what the monists are saying. So this part of the purport is important philosophically. Then word Nirvana. Again you go down, same thing you will find. the word kevalyam swarupa pratishtha ya chit shakti iti, this chit shakti or transcendental pleasure is the real life. This is confirmed in Vedanta Sutra, ananda, ananda mayo abhyasat. This is the ultimate goal of yoga and is easily achieved by execution of devotional service or bhakti yoga. Can you see this? And then there are two types of samadhis. Sampragyata samadhi, asampragyata samadhi. These are some technical words, we never practice it, simply for the purpose of information, you know what is the difference between two samadhis. Sampragyat and asampragyat. What is the difference between the two? By philosophical research, he is said to have achieved sampragyat samadhi. In the asampragyat samadhi, there is no longer any connection with mundane material. So these are two different stages of samadhi. Even the yogis who have, those who have siddhis, if they use siddhis, they are not in samadhi. Siddhi, no samadhi. Okay? Then Prabhupada is saying some, because now we are reaching where Arjuna will reject the yoga. So Prabhupada started saying, there are Hatha yoga, Dhyana yoga and Jnana yoga, but there is no such problem in executing Karma yoga or Bhakti yoga. There are many impediments, especially in this age of hypocrisy, to practice all these yogas. Okay? There's something down, can you see something? As long as the material body exists, one has to meet the demands of the body, namely eating, sleeping, defending, mating. But a person who is in pure bhakti yoga or in Krishna consciousness does not arouse the sense while meeting the demands of the body. Rather, he accepts the bare necessity of life, making the best use of bad bargain, and enjoy transcendental happiness in Krishna consciousness. He is callous towards incidental occurrences, such as accident, disease, scarcity, or even death of the most dear relative. Who is such example? Narada. In his past life, only his mother died, and he thought, and his realization was, Krishna has dragged me to his service. There was only one attachment. I am free from that. Is not the realization. So they think it is somehow Krishna has some purpose behind it. But he is always alert to execute his duties in Krishna consciousness or bhakti yoga. Accident never deviate him from his duty. What it means? We are doing devotional service and sometimes some disaster happens and we say, this, after doing so much bhakti, still I have some suffering. So Prahlad Maharaj is an example. So many disasters, but he never an inch budged from fixed devotional service. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to hear Prahlad Maharaj pastime 100 times. He heard 100 times Prahlad Maharaj pastime. Why? If we get that determination, whatever come in the life as a disturbance, even own father put in trouble, but never ever give up his devotional service. So that Mahaprabhu used to hear Prahlad pastime for 100 times, and he heard the 100 times pastime of Dhruva Maharaj. a fixed determination like Brahma Maharaj and tolerance like Prahlad, never wavering in fixed determination, that is what it means here. So ultimately he tolerates, okay? Agmoaya Panditas. Verse 24. In this verse there is the word Nischayana. Nischayana means he has firm determination. And there is a story of Spiro and the Garuda. Okay? So this verse has some comment here. One should engage oneself in the practice of yoga with determination and faith and not be deviated from the path. One should abandon without exception all material desire born of mental speculation and thus control all the senses on all sides by the mind. This is something Purport Prabhupada is speaking here. There's a story which we know is Spiro. Determination is a story of Spiro and Garuda. Now this is something you have to speak on radio. You have been asked by the BBC, okay, what you will do? Can we have salvation by our own endeavors or through the God's grace? On thus this subject, using the story of Sparrow, write a radio talk that will last 3 minutes. Our endeavor only, or we need God's grace also? So this is what this story is, means you have to endeavor like a sparrow, then some mercy will descend down. So both will do something. You write it, then you will know what it is. Now I think we are in our own temple. Realization of Krishna as a super soul. These are the verses. If you want to do today or you want to take break, you must be tired, sleeping. Some are sleeping, some are about to sleep. No problem. These are the realization of Krishna as a super soul. It means these verses, 4 or 5 verses, speak of yoga-arudh person in his samadhi. And then we have this next set of verses. What about this? You go and think about, wherever you are, think about this for tomorrow. Try to remember experience where you felt the presence of super soul by the association of another person and share this experience with your partner. It may have been with an advanced devotee or an ordinary person. Have you ever felt this presence of super soul somewhere helping? Somebody coming and helping you in some association, some senior devotee association. This is some experience like, this is what the verse is based on. This Prabhupada lecture will do it tomorrow, I think. This is homework, assignment. Take this homework and then go, okay? Mood and mission, personal and practical application. So you students are asked to reflect on how Srila Prabhupada demonstrates this verse. Take verse 32. Verse 32 has something which explains the mood and mission of Srila Prabhupada. And you have to find out in your personal and preaching application how you use this. Verse 32, okay? Next, how much should we identify with non-devotees, happiness and distress, as it is due to illusion? It may be best to be detached. What is the appropriate attitude for the devotee towards illusory suffering of the others? The verse must be here. Oh, This verse I can tell you, the verse, this verse is Atma Upmeyena Sarvatra. Can you find this verse? Atma Upmeyena Sarvatra Yomam Pashyanti Sukhamayana Sajistam Yogi. 32. So in the same verse, this is the this concept you see. So this is your homework. Write few lines on these two aspects, okay? Then it will be easier for us to complete 6th chapter in next class. Alright? Any question or